Well, here's a little story I enjoyed. It's about every time a pope is elected, there are many ancient rituals and ceremonies in accordance with tradition. But there is one tradition few people know about, however. Shortly after a new pope is enthroned, the chief rabbi of Rome seeks an audience. He presents the pope with a silver tray bearing a velvet cushion. On top of the cushion is an ancient, shriveled parchment envelope. The pope symbolically stretches out his arm in a gesture of rejection. The rabbi then leaves, taking the envelope with him, and does not return again until the next pope is elected. Pope Francis was intrigued by this ritual, the origins of which were unknown to him. So he instructed the Vatican scholars to research it, but they came up with nothing. When the time came and the chief rabbi arrived for his audience, the new pope faithfully reenacted the ritual rejection. But as the rabbi turned to leave, the pope called him back. "My brother," the Holy Father whispered, "I must confess that we are ignorant of the meaning of this ritual repeated for centuries with the representatives of the Jewish people. I have to ask you, what is it all about?" The chief rabbi shrugged and replied, "We have no more idea than you. The origin of the ceremony is lost in history." The pope said, "Let us retire to my private chambers and enjoy a glass of wine together. Then, with your agreement, we shall open the envelope and discover the secret at last." The chief rabbi agreed. He was as curious as the pope. When they were alone, the pope gingerly pried open the parchment envelope with his trembling fingers, and the chief rabbi removed a folded sheet of ancient paper. It was written in Aramaic. "What does it say?" the pope asked. The rabbi responded, "It's the bill for the Last Supper." In today's gospel, the gospel takes us to the Last Supper, where Judas had just left to go betray the Lord, and then Jesus gives them a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. Let's take a look at this very short gospel today. It says, Judas had just left them. He went off to obviously betray the Lord. What does the Lord say at this moment? He says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." What does that mean? Well, Jesus always referred to himself as the Son of Man. There are many titles for Jesus, but his favorite one to use about himself was the Son of Man. He used it 90 times in the New Testament Gospels. It was a title from the prophet Daniel. It was a messianic title. So Jesus is referring to himself as the Son of Man, namely the Messiah. "Now is the Son of Man glorified." How can Jesus be glorified? How can he glorify the Father by having himself betrayed? Well, this will set into motion the Paschal mystery, the Passover of the Lord. It'll set in motion his death, but also his resurrection. And this will open the gates of heaven. It will redeem the world. It will give glory to the Heavenly Father. So Jesus came into the world not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him, namely the Father. So this is how Jesus will be glorified, because yes, he will undergo his crucifixion, but he will also experience the resurrection and glorify his Heavenly Father. And so then he says, "My children, I will not be with you much longer." And when somebody is about to die, which the Lord would be dying here in the next day, this is said on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, you listen to their words very carefully, because it's some of their last words, and they really put in a message that they want to be remembered by. So Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you." So that is one of his final words, to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Let's unpack that for a moment. Well, first of all, why is it a new commandment? Well, it is so much different than, obviously, other commandments in Scripture, because this commandment is personal. How Jesus loved us, he wants us to love others. How did Jesus love us? Look up at the cross. Jesus loved us totally, sacrificially, unselfishly, with self-giving, self-donation, even shedding to the last drop of his blood and laying down his life for us. That is what he says. Love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. In other words, be willing to die for one another. Be willing to lay down your life for one another. And notice he says, I call it a commandment, not a suggestion, right? A commandment. Now, you can't command somebody to have an emotion. God doesn't command us to have an emotion. So therefore, love, when he says love one another, must be more than a feeling and an emotion. See, God can't command us to be happy or sad or hungry or thirsty. God can't command us to have a feeling, but he can command us to make an act of the will. That's why love ultimately is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is an act of the will. A great book written by a great Christian writer called Gary Smalley. The name of the book is Love is a Decision by Gary Smalley. And again, so he goes in there, love is much more than a feeling, an emotion. Love is a decision. It's an act of the will. That's why Jesus can say, I give you a new commandment. Again, because it's something that we can make a choice about. And then he says, love one another. Now the word love here is in the Greek agape. You know that word. It means this total, unconditional, sacrificial love. It's much more than philios, brotherly love, eros, romantic love, storge, patriotic love. It is this agape, which is a divine kind of love. A kind of love that is so self-giving and self-donating. Now the good news is that he doesn't say like one another, right? He doesn't say you have to like everyone. You might have a very tough time liking that neighbor of yours or liking your boss. By the way, I love my boss, by the way. But you might may not like, you know, maybe it's sometimes you might not like your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents because of whatever they did or didn't do. But so Jesus luckily doesn't command us to like everyone, but he does command us to love everyone. There's a big difference. What is the definition of love? I think John Vianney said it best. Love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. Love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the other person. What is the highest and best good? Ultimately, it's to have that person get to heaven. So you want your neighbor to get to heaven, your parents to get to heaven, your spouse to get to heaven, your children to get to heaven. So true love desires their highest and best good, ultimately their salvation. So this word love is a word that is much more than in the English language. You know, we can say, well, I love pizza, I love ice cream, I love God. But the word love here is this total, unconditional, sacrificial love. And then he says, love one another as I have loved you. If you want to see what love looks like, look up at the crucifix. That is the greatest expression of love. And Mother Teresa once said, if you want to see how God loved you in the past, look at the crucifix. If you want to see how much God loves you right now, look at the tabernacle. Look at Jesus in the Eucharist. And I think the Lord, for a reason, gave this commandment at the Last Supper. Because what was he about to do? He was about to give us his body and blood and Holy Communion, which is, again, a total self-giving of himself. Notice in a few moments we're going to hear those words that Jesus said, this is my body, which will be given up for you. That is true love. That's why the Eucharist is called the sacrament of love. The Eucharist epitomizes God's love for us because it's Jesus giving himself to us totally, unconditionally, in the Blessed Sacrament. And then he says, this is my blood which is poured out for you, he'll say in a few moments at this Mass. So the crucifix, again, reminds us of how much Jesus loved us in the past. The Eucharist, the tabernacle, reminds us of how much Jesus loves us right now. And in a few moments, we will be able to get to receive that same Jesus who loved us so much that he's giving us himself again today in the Holy Eucharist, a complete, total self-giving, body, blood, soul, and divinity.